In this episode of Movie Rollers, we're going to do a catch-up of some of the late summer movies that we have seen and not reviewed yet. We're going to talk about Hope Springs, The Odd Life of Timothy Green, Celeste and Jesse Forever, and The Campaign. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter. In theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm hungry.
Eat.
I was going to say the same thing. I'm hungry and I haven't had a drop of anything in my mouth since I woke up.
Really? How do you get to midday and not have anything, Yazdi? I'm probably on my third meal by now.
When I wake up.
Well, you ate all the chocolate today.
I did. There were two lint truffles in the kitchen, and I went to put something away, and I could not resist having both of them in a row.
At once? You didn't share with Joe?
No. Oh my God. And what's worse is that we had a couple of folks around to our house last night, John, Megan, Hay, but I didn't get to eat any of them last night. So the whole bag of lint truffles was devoured by our guests, and then this morning the two final remaining ones that I thought were being reserved for me disappeared.
Oh, now that's a big assumption to think that they were reserved for you without putting dibs on them.
This is true. I should know you better by now.
I would demand some major payback, Joe.
I guess I deserve it. I did eat all the happy hippos a few weeks ago. So
that's right. That's right.
Those happy hippos, if they weren't so expensive, I would just eat like 10 a day.
We tried the chocolate flavor.
Yeah, they have a cocoa flavor.
Ooh,
which is very good.
Happy hippos are good. Yes.
It is. It's very good.
I preferred the hazelnut one, to be honest.
Yeah.
So,
for those who don't know, Happy Hippo is a manner of confectionery which is available in stores, and we're not eating actual animals, but
yeah,
it's by
Kinder.
It's a biscuit which is stuffed with hazelnut cream and all manners of other fillings.
We talk a lot about food.
We like to eat.
Yeah.
And we're going to go through this marathon of a Movie Wallers episode without any sustenance. You would take a food
hopefully,
break.
Hopefully it'll speed things up.
It probably will, actually. I was going to say, we could take a snack break.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, but
do you need snacks or you guys good to go?
I'm good to go.
Do you need go on?
No, I'm good to go. Let's go.
All right, let's go. So we have a marathon, as I say, Hope Springs, Celeste and Jesse Forever, The Odd Life of Timothy Green, and The Campaign. So I have no preference for order. Who wants to start? Yazdi, you want to introduce
one of them? Pick one, anyone. Don't tell us which. No, this isn't a card trick.
Okay, we're really disorganized. Let's
top production values at Movie Rollers here.
Let's go with Hope Springs.
All right.
Shoot. Okay, so I have the intro to that one. So Kay and Arnold are a devoted couple, rather like Joe and me, except I eat all the chocolates. But decades of marriage have left Kay wanting to spice things up and reconnect with her husband. Maybe she has some truffles in her cupboard. When she hears of a renowned couples specialist in a small town of Great Hope Springs, she attempts to persuade her skeptical husband, a steadfast man of routine, to get on a plane for a week of marriage therapy. Just convincing the stubborn Arnold to go on the retreat is hard enough. The real challenge for both of them comes as they shed their bedroom hang-ups and try to reignite the spark that caused them to fall for each other in the first place. So this stars Meryl Streep, Tommy Lee Jones, and Steve Carell. So did this one ignite for you, Yazdi?
It did. And so this movie has been marketed a very particular way. And as many reviewers have pointed out, the actual film Hope Springs is not a laugh-out-loud comedy. I think actually the film is a bit of a miracle, and I'll tell you why. For one thing, you do not expect this from the man who made The Devil Wears Prada. But I think this movie is kind of a horse cart in a hybrid car world. It is, for one thing, only and only about one thing, which is restoring intimacy and connection between an older couple. Try marketing that. And it is, for another, bravely, again, very bravely, about three characters only for the most part of the movie. Most of the movie is really about three people talking. But when you have Meryl Streep and Tommy Lee Jones and Steve Carell with nary a snark, you know, I would gladly watch them talk for hours.
And we should tell our listeners that we dragged you to Sinopolis to watch this one. So yes. I'm predicting that the comfort of the cinema added to the joy of your movie going.
Perhaps. But this movie is so atypical. It's a very strange beast in every way, I think.
Okay, well, we'll have some discussion. Joe?
Yeah, it certainly is an odd movie. It feels like you're a fly on the wall of some marital counselling. I thought the performances were very convincing here. I believed every single thing that Tommy Lee Jones uttered in this movie. I found Streep a little hard to believe as a wallflower because we've seen her play such strong characters recently. And this lady here was definitely... It was somebody who had a hard time expressing what she had to say, and so I was a little disconnected in that manner. But overall, this was a very effective, emotionally quite strong movie, and I really enjoyed the experience.
Gosh, maybe I'm the odd one out then. So for me, this should have been great because it's got Meryl Streep and Tommy Lee Jones and Steve Carell in it. The idea seems heartfelt and funny, but for me, hope didn't spring. It took a nosedive. I really didn't like this movie because for me, it was like listening to your parents or family or old neighbors talking about things you shouldn't listen to. For me, it was a one-joke movie that had so much potential, and yet it used one situation to the nth degree, the bedroom.
So you were looking for a comedy?
Because no, I wasn't looking for a comedy. I mean, I don't think it did comedy or drama well. It was this dramedy.
There's no comedy in it.
But this is the thing. For me, it just focused on the bedroom, and I hated that.
See, you're almost implying this is a story not worth saying. Like we don't need to know about the intimacy problems of older people kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that we don't need to know about them, but I don't believe it's just intimacy. And I think that it just took the intimacy part of a long relationship and expose that for us. And I feel like we didn't, you know, if it's about three people, okay, so like you said, Yazdi, at the beginning of the review, if this is a film mainly about three people talking, we didn't get to hear what the issues were. It didn't go deep enough to give us that sense of completion at the end then, because it's predictable.
Oh, I think it went very deep. I mean, I think the movie drew from the actors an awful lot, because this was... It was obvious to me that portraying something that is very difficult for couples to talk about effectively on a screen is a very hard thing to do. A lot of the best scenes in this movie, a lot of the best performances come from what's not said. And you have to kind of get behind the actors to see that. And that, I think, is very technically hard to do, but it was very enjoyable to watch.
I think I liked it for the same reason you did not, Rashmi, in that I thought it actually... You know, most movies, you know, close the door when the characters walk into a room and they go to bed. This movie kind of walked in with them and kind of pursued it further. So I think it made me uncomfortable. There were a lot of scenes where I thought it kind of really delved too deep in almost areas where I'm like, I don't want to go there. You know, I don't want to need to know about this. But I almost admired it for that because, you know, a typical commercial mainstream studio-backed movies is not interested in the issues of an older demographic. And I almost like that, you know, it kind of went to areas where, again, you don't normally, movies don't go there. And I'm with you about the acting, but I'll get back to the acting in a minute.
Yeah, but yes, you see, it was all about the intimacy issues. And if you're talking about older relationships, this felt awkward and strange when I compare it to something like The Exotic Marigold Hotel, which went so much deeper and did it with so much more heart for me. I just didn't feel like... If we're watching therapy, if we're watching couples therapy, because that's really what this film is, we got to hear about the intimacy, but there were so many things that weren't said that I think would have made for a better film or all around.
No, you don't need that kind of exposition. So maybe that would have made the movie less effective if it had been talky.
But then maybe this is a male-female perspective again. Maybe the women are going to want to look for something deeper and richer from this relationship than just the intimacy part.
I think the movie focuses on the intimacy part. That's what drives it. But it does touch on other issues. It does touch on, you know, slights and humiliations and little things that...
Right, but all related to the bedroom.
No.
Not necessarily. No, I didn't. I mean, I think that's what drove it, but it kind of speaks to other issues. And I think, actually, I'll completely give it to you that the best Exotic Marigold Hotel probably had more heart. But I actually think this movie was a lot more deeper because I think it had the time to go into only these two characters. So I actually thought this went a little bit more deeper. And speaking of the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, you know, I'd mentioned this when we discussed that movie, but there was that one scene where Judi Dench is in this very crowded phone booth in a very crowded part of India, and she's calling her son to talk to him. And, you know, she's just listening on the phone and then she's reacting. But just look at her face while she's talking. I mean, you can see betrayal, you can see humiliation, you can see embarrassment, you can see pride. I mean, this is what good actors do. And it's the same thing you see her with Meryl Streep. I mean, this is a very difficult role to play, I think, because she never once is disrespectful of her husband. She really, truly respects her husband. But at the same time, she feels humiliated and slighted and put off and embarrassed and all of these things. And I think a lot of it is nonverbal and it's all on her face. Yeah. You know, and Tommy Lee Jones is the same way. I mean, there's so much nonverbal acting. And we should be sick of Meryl Streep by now. I mean, she won her third Oscar last year for Crying Out Loud. And here she is again. And this is the reason why she keeps getting nominated again and again. I don't know who else can do this. And Tommy Lee Jones, again, is a revelation. Like you, Joe, I believed. He reminded me of a very specific kind of character that I've seen again and again. I've seen people like that who are closed off, unwilling to talk, uncommunicative. Not because they're bad people, because that's just how they're wired. And he completely nailed that.
Yeah, and I buy the Tommy Lee Jones, Yazdi, but I don't buy Meryl Streep in this movie like you, Joe. I just didn't buy the fact that she's some wallflower. I just didn't. It just didn't work for me.
I won't say I didn't buy that. I'm going to say I had a hard time with that just because I'm used to seeing... We saw her most recently as the Iron Lady. This character could not be a bigger contrast from that character there.
Okay, anything else to say or should we wind this one up?
Yeah, I have three minor complaints. One, really awful title. Really bad title. I mean, they should change. Hope Springs says nothing about this movie. It's almost cheesy. Second, the music in this movie is really horribly overproduced. I don't need an actual song playing with intact lyrics telling me how I should feel. And the movie does this like three or four times when entire songs are playing, you know, which is supposed to mirror what the characters are going through. And the third thing, you know, I concede with you, Rashmi, I didn't tremendously emotionally connect with the characters. I mean, I could see it play out, but I wasn't with Tommy Lee Jones or I wasn't with Meryl Streep. So I wished somehow the movie had connected a little bit more. Maybe it should have been a little bit darker even. I think it kind of, especially towards the end in its effort to kind of become more Hollywood-like, it kind of, you know, tied the knots up a little too easily in my opinion, but, you know, minor quibbles.
So sum up and give us a score, Yazdi.
So, you know, a movie about and only about older people talking, imagine that. I'm glad this film got made at all in the current environment at big film studios. I have great respect for this movie's resolution to be what it is and for not becoming, you know, many other kinds of lesser films that could have easily lapsed into by bringing in funny side characters. I think, I'm going to repeat myself, I think the movie is a bit of a miracle. I give it an 8 out of 10.
Joe.
I enjoyed the movie most for the performances, which I thought were fantastically honest. I wished, like you, Yazdi, things hadn't been wrapped up quite as conveniently. I think the movie would have been a lot more impactful if, as is the reality in many such cases, things don't end up being fully resolved in the way that they did in this movie. But, you know, that's what I guess we demand of Hollywood these days, the mainstream audiences. And I think people want to leave the movie theater with a certain feeling. I left with a very good impression of this movie. I think it's going to stick with me for a while, so I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Tommy Lee Jones, Meryl Streep and Steve Carell, I think, were great to watch and delivered their lines flawlessly. The film just didn't have much holding it together for me. Hope Springs is a dull back-of-the-plane movie in my mind. My hopes were a little shattered with this one. I probably like this movie half as much as Yazdi, so I'm going to give it half of Yazdi's score. 4 out of 10.
Oh!
Come on. Really?
Rashmi's hot and cold these days. Have you noticed? She's either like 9 out of 10, or you know, she reminds me of a friend of ours, Pedro. And the thing with Pedro is that he has no.
There's no grey.
Bipolar.
Hopefully, he's not listening.
Yeah, he's not listening. He's bipolar. He's like either I love it, I love it, I love it, or ugh, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, and there's nothing in between.
By the way, he's Turkish. No, he's not. He's Spanish. I was just laughing. That's Joe's attempt at a Spanish accent.
But that's what you're being at the moment. You're like giving out nines and tens, and then on the contrast, you're like, and so.
But okay. So this is how I judge a movie. either I do go in and it has such a great response on me that I love something.
I love it, I love it, I love it.
Or I just think, this wasn't even average.
I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. I'm telling you.
Well, let's see what I give throughout this podcast.
If it wasn't for being sued, we should do a thumbs up, thumbs down with you.
It is as binary, 0 or 1. Maybe that's what we should start, a scoring system of 0, 0 or 1, Yazdi. You'd have no room for halves.
Yeah, I think I'm guilty of the opposite. I think I hedge too close to the middle and then just deviate on either side a little bit. So I wish I was a little bit more like you.
I certainly should be a little bit. No, I was going to say, I certainly don't use my full 10-point range.
Well, there's good, average, or bad in my book. So I try to score good, average, or bad. And most movies aren't average. Most movies are shy of average or better than average.
That's why we have averages. All right.
Okay, let's get to our next movie.
Celeste and Jesse Forever. So I think I've got the intro for this one.
And you didn't see this one. Only Yazdi and I saw this one.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed didn't get a chance to see this one. But the movie stars Rashida Jones and Andy Samberg. They play Celeste and Jesse, who met in high school. They married young and are now growing apart. Now 30, Celeste is the owner of her own media consulting firm. Jesse is once again unemployed and in no particular rush to do anything with his life. The movie is directed by Lee Toland Krieger and written by Rashida Jones, the daughter of Quincy Jones, which I think we found out recently. I love that little fact about her. I've liked her a lot in so many things that she's done. So I'm really kind of bummed I didn't get a chance to see this one. What did I miss?
So I'll start, Yazdi. I was fortunate enough to see this one at the LA Film Festival, and there was some Q&A after the film, and so I got a few facts as well, which I can try and pepper through this review. This is an unusual relationship story that is tragically funny. This is a rom-com turned on its head that really delivered for me.
Yeah, if it were up to me, Celeste and Jesse Forever would be the only kinds of film that would be playing in multiplexes. I mean, it's an imperfect movie, to be sure, and it's slightly unfocused. But, it has this specificity of a voice. I mean, it has a character written by Rashida Jones that is complex and contradictory and unique and not to be found in any other movie. I mean, it also has this very definite feel and sensibility about Los Angeles. I mean, you know, Los Angeles is almost a character in the movie.
Yeah.
And I think it brings home its final message with surprising grace. And I think anytime a movie can speak to grace, you know, it's done its job well.
Yeah. I mean, I just really love the way that this examines the rules of relationships and marriage in a very non-conventional way. And when I compare something like this to Hope Springs, you can see where my score comes from. I mean, this film just has you rooting for Celeste and Jesse mostly through the movie. And I would say it has you on the verge of either laughter or tears the whole way through. It has such an emotional response that it brings out in you. I so connected with this movie.
Yeah, I like that. The very first act of the movie tells you that Celeste and Jesse have separated. I mean, that's the starting point of the movie. And I love how it, like you said, it just turns the whole thing over its head. And originally, the movie seemed a little bit unfocused to me. I still think it's a little unfocused because there was so much of this sputter and stop kind of thing going on. Maybe yes, maybe no, you know, in their relationship. But then, you know, when I came out of the movie and the more I think about it, that's how life is. Nobody's relationships proceed perfectly. There is a little going front, there is two steps back. And I think, you know, it's courageous, you know, that the movie kind of plays that out in how the story is told. And, you know, good for Rashida Jones. I mean, you know, she probably got fed up of getting, you know, waiting for the good role to come to her. So she wrote her own.
And she delivers. She totally delivers as this character, Celeste. I mean, the other thing I loved, Yazdi, and I don't know whether this had the same impact on you, the film starts with this beautiful photo montage, which depicts Celeste and Jesse's life together. So right from the beginning, you're really bought into the amount of time that these people have spent together. And then to open the first scene with the fact that they're separated, it just starts with a bang. I just love this. And, you know, Rashida Jones and Adam Samberg in the main roles, their chemistry was so believable in this movie.
Yeah, it was believable. The one part that I found hard to believe is when the movie starts, apparently they've been together for 6 years, been married for 6 years, and they've separated. I didn't believe that part. It seemed like maybe they were married for a couple years. One, you know, they seem too young to have been married for 6 years and then separated. They both seem to be in their 20s. So that part I didn't get. But you know, you know what this movie reminded me of the most was, you know, this is the film that Lola Versus was trying to be and failed miserably.
Yes.
This is, you know, you like Lola Versus Joe, so you should go see this one. And I think this is Lola Versus done right. You know, this is, you know, I have great respect for, you know, for people who are kind of taking a little bit of their own life and putting it on there. I presume this has got to be autobiographical because it's so specific, but then they've done it well. And yes, you know, Rashida Jones, even, you know, even when she's spiraling into despair and overeating and slobbering, you know, she's deeply, deeply adorable. I mean, she's too cute. So I almost wish that she hadn't, maybe she should have had some other actor play her, but even then, you know, okay, so I was wishing there was a little bit more darkness to the movie than, I mean, it is a bit of a dark movie, but I wish it was even a little bit more darker. But even then, you know, there's nothing cookie cutter about how Celeste is fleshed out, you know, her job, her home, her friends, you know, the people at her work. You know, this is all very finely crafted. You know, there's nothing blurry. These are all very specific characters in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, what's his name who plays her boss?
From The Hobbit, not The Hobbit, from Mr. Lord Frodo. Of the Rings.
Yes, you know, I mean...
Elijah Wood.
I mean, these are all very particular characters. There's nothing cookie-cutter about it.
I mean, you know, I love the twists and turns. For me, this really kept me guessing, which was really nice as well, and I was surprised by the end. Just some interesting facts. You know, this was actually written by Rashida Jones and Will McCormick, who's actually in the movie, and the Q&A afterwards was saying, you know, how this film almost didn't get made. And they made this whole movie for $840,000, which is so cheap by Hollywood standards. And you don't necessarily see, and I tell you that fact because it doesn't look like a low-budget movie.
That's going to be one of my questions. I mean, you know, it seems to me like it's one of these little indie flicks. It feels, from what you describe, something like 500 Days of Summer. Is it anything like that at all in its kind of texture?
It's not a million miles from that, but I think it seems a bit bigger. I think it's going to do well in the mainstream.
I actually like 500 Days of Summer a little
bit. Me too. Me too, yeah.
Yeah, and I think 500 Days of Summer was more ambitious in many ways. You know, it had these musical numbers and it probably had a bigger budget and so forth. But I think, yeah, it kind of falls in that genre, definitely. I also think this kind of film where a person's reaction to it will depend on what they bring into it when they walk into the movie. I think how much of this might resonate with things might have happened in your own life, you know, and not even necessarily in a romantic situation, but in others, in how you react with your friends and family and so forth. So I think how you react to it will depend on your own situation a little bit. And
you so know, you're saying you're not a single 30-something woman, Yazdi?
No, I'm not, and I haven't been divorced for six. I haven't been divorced after being married for 6 years. No, and the other bit was, you know, as I was watching the movie, I was really enjoying it and entertained by it. But there was no emotional connection, you know. And then at the end, you know, when it all came together, boom, you know, I choked up. And
you sobbed like a baby.
I didn't sob like a baby, but that connection which I was missing really happened at the end.
Yeah.
So, and I don't want to say anything about the end, but it's just a job well done. I'm just glad that these are the kinds of movies that should be getting made. It speaks to something being right with the world.
Yeah. All right, Yazdi. So let's sum this up. Let's try and give Joe a score so he can either rush out and see it or wait till it gets on Netflix.
I actually don't care about your scores. I think everything you've told me here makes me want to go out and see this now, but we should score it anyway.
Yeah, so it's by no means perfect and always barely walking the right side of getting too precious, but I still think this movie is an antidote to all the monotonous sequel-infected, regurgitated flack that is playing in cinemas these days. Jesse and Celeste are very good company. I have much fondness for this film and I give it 8 out of 10.
Celeste and Jesse Forever will stay in your heart forever. This is an unusual movie that questions the meaning of love in a subtle and human way, but has you crying joyfully too. I love it, I love it, I love it. 8 out of 10.
Excellent.
It's adorable. Adorable. And it, again, you know, it's got few people in it. It's on a low budget, but every person who's there is so efficient.
All right. Well, in contrast to what I said earlier on, I think we should end this show here. I'll try and get the next podcast out a little sooner than normal. So stay tuned for our next show where we'll discuss The Odd Life of Timothy Green and The Campaign. Mail at moviewars.com. Let us know what you think. twitter.com/MovieWallahs, facebook.com/MovieWallahs. Join our growing online community of MovieWallahs Facebook fans. We try and post shows there and have little snippets here and there, so do check that out, as well as our main website, which we post content to from time to time, so do visit frequently. Until our next episode, it's Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. Good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.